How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Kyle Masters here of Elite POV. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elite POV right here on our audio platforms. We do apologize for the audio technical difficulties we had throughout the show. Unfortunately, there was some internet interference, so it did screw up the mics for a couple of moments, but other than that, the show should be good. We'll hopefully have everything sorted out by next episode. So again, apologize on behalf of myself and Phil. But without further ado, here is the episode number 97 of Elite POV. Guns up. Enjoy the show.
I want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Elite POV, where it's podcast time, and you know what that means. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo.
Cataldo.
Not Anthony DiStefano.
Phil K.
Well, you can call me Philium.
Taldo.
Or tonight, Anthony, I guess. alongside Canada's best import, Kyle Masters. What's up?
Bro, I feel like I should have a shirt that says that. You know, we should bring the merch store back.
I don't know if you want to put best import, finest import.
You know the merch store that we probably didn't make any money off of?
Besides us buying
all
it.
All the sales came from us buying the damn
t-shirt. Yeah. Did I recently go into the store and try to make them $1 so I could just buy all of the designs? Yeah, it wouldn't let me.
Yeah, it doesn't let you do that anymore.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me do that.
They caught on eventually.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah.
But thanks everybody who's in the chat now live. And if you guys aren't able to see the show live, we're up on Spotify. But if you want to see the show live, youtube.com/ElitePOV. We usually do Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern time. People busy, lives get in the way.
Yeah,
it's all right, it's all right. And then we're doing it this week on Tuesday.
It was my bad though. It was literally something I had planned for a long time and I just completely forgot about. And that's my fault. Sure. I use the Google Calendar like crazy to like schedule, and my fiance helps me with that too. But like I use it a lot to the point where I forget to use it.
Listen, not only does my wife have used the Apple Calendar, I get emails saying, "What's up, Jermazing?" I get emails saying when she, like, let's say if I'm like, "Hey, you want to go get dinner?" She'll put dinner at 6 o'clock and I'll get the fucking email that says dinner at 6 o'clock. And then we got the calendar in the kitchen. She'll miss nothing, man.
Okay.
She'll miss nothing. Definitely good lucky for that. But thank you guys for tuning in. We got a lot of great things to talk about. Some interesting news that Kyle just told me right before we got on air. Isaac, the baby's good. Tough night last night, 4-month-old son. And newborns are tough sometimes. But he's doing great today. Thank you for asking. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We're going to talk about Collision. We're going to talk about some of the news going around.
Yeah, where are Colliders at?
Of AEW. The one thing that I want to start off, you know, people were mentioning to us for us to talk about it. So I want to start off the show with this and then we'll get into some news. So obviously Royal Rumble was this weekend.
The Battle of Royals.
We can't say Forbidden Door because it's corny.
Come on, man. Yeah. You can't say Forbidden Door anymore. It's corny.
It's corny. Oh, my God. Because no one invited us. It's corny. But also, like, I had a house full of people. My wife wanted to gamble. So we were betting on the Rumble. You pick out numbers. You put money in a pot. I lost both times. So the funny thing as a wrestling fan is, like, no disrespect, because I like Natty, but when you pull Natty in the Royal Rumble, you ain't winning. When you pull tag team wrestlers, you ain't winning. You know, I had like Natty. Katana Chance, and like I was like, I ain't winning this. I had like Alba Fire, a bunch of new call up / NXT people. I'm like, ah, Brian winning. But yeah, so a lot of people want to bring this up because a lot of the people in the IWC seem to be almost unanimous. If they have a brain, not just AEW fans, even a lot of WWE fans are saying themselves that Collision this week was a lot better than the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble wasn't as good as it'd been the last few years, which is crazy. We had that incredible cage match that we'll get to a little later. But, you know, Kyle, what did you think about this crazy weekend of wrestling?
So here's the thing. God, I forgot the word. Prefaces. God, oh my God, I'm struggling with English tonight. So I don't watch the Fed. Shocker.
Fuck the Fed.
So
don't let all this Fed shit right here on the screen. This is just right there.
Before I go into the Royal Rumble, I don't watch weekly, so I'm not as in tune with storylines and such. I see it come across my timeline from retweets and such. That's basically how my knowledge of what goes on in the WWE. So coming across this weekend, I was coincidentally enough, I was clearing out my email Friday night or Monday morning. I had a free trial to one of the sports stations up here that shows WWE weekly. And if you use it, you get the premium live, they call premium live events. They get the premium live events for free. So I'm like, I might as well just use a 7-day free trial and then I'll get the Rumble for free. So I got the watch for free. So I watched, and I had Collision on my laptop in front of me. So I put the Rumble on the TV and I put the Collision on my laptop so I can watch. My overall thoughts of the Rumble really quickly. To me, again, this is just my opinion, it was boring.
Yeah.
It was, there was nothing exciting about it, unless like I understood that there's things I didn't understand that maybe if I was watching TV weekly, I would have been more excited for. Like the Women's Rumble was like the best part of the whole damn night for me. It was cool to see some people there. You know, we saw Jade there and such, but I don't know, it's just so
Jordan Grace.
Yeah,
I think it's almost unanimous that the Women's Rumble was better than the men's.
It was boring. I was almost falling asleep, to be honest.
it is a little rough. And it was only four matches. Is weird. We got Isaac in the chat saying he only watched the men's and the women's Rumble to troll the idiots that thought Okada, Mercedes, MJF would appear. I think it was really funny because I watched the whole thing because I had a house full of people.
I'm not taking a break from saying anything on Twitter anymore. I've had too many of the fucking drone accounts coming after me in the last week. I'm just exhausted trying to explain to them that the song lyrics that I did was a fucking joke.
People are dumb. They're more mad at those song lyrics than the guy who runs their company being a sexual predator. But you know, it was funny when it's like 30 and people really thought it was gonna be MJF and it was Sami Zayn, which we love Sami Zayn, but it's just like, come on guys, like it's not. We all know MJF signed, and this is a storyline. It's been known for months, but, you know, Cody did win the men's, which was cool. Hopefully, they let him finish the story. And Jade had a good showing, which was really cool.
So I get a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Do you think WWE shoots themselves in the foot around this season every year because of everyone just expects that big surprise, whether it be a crossover talent or someone returning, that when it doesn't happen, people just think the pay-per-view sucks, and that's why people think it's boring?
I think the weird thing, and AEW has gotten into this last year a lot, but is when there's too many surprises back to back to back to back, it's expected. So like on a pay-per-view, when someone doesn't debut randomly for AEW, people will be like, oh, this pay-per-view sucked. There was no random debuts. Like, now that we know that there was that whole list of people who got released from WWE 3 months ago, and now we're starting to see, like, Nickname If Dolph Ziggler is in Japan. Mustafa Ali is in Japan and also working with TNA. Also, fucking Namath is in TNA, too. So, like, people are starting to find homes, and no one has shown up in AEW yet. At least that came from WWE. But we got the Deonna thing. We got Mariah May. But if it's too much, it gets people expectations too high. I feel like the Rumble is, of course, that. But the weird thing is, it's the thought process behind it. Like, MJF isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, clearly he's hurt. So even if he was going to WWE, it ain't going to be for at least 6 months probably, or at least till after Mania. I don't know how bad his injuries are. But the cool thing is that Jade showed up. Jade had a very impressive showing. We saw the face-off with her in And Bianca. You know, we saw Jade lift up Nia Jax like she was nothing, which I know a lot of people were popping to. So that's cool to see an AEW alumni go over there and kind of do big things. Also, like I said, Jordan Grace from TNA. It was awesome that she got her moment. People were like, who the hell is that? I'm like, so I got to watch multiple companies, bro. Multiple companies. Especially everything that's going on in WWE behind the scenes with the lawsuits and stuff. We don't know how that's going to affect the higher-ups. Like, start to spread your wings and you don't have to watch AEW. Right?
Yeah.
But you can watch TNA, you can watch Japan. it's a good time to be a wrestling
fan. You watch whatever you want. Just don't be an idiot and go on Twitter and shit on everybody else that likes a different company. Or
unless you're out of your way, you want to shit on WWE fans. That's different. You have to do whatever you want. All right.
But I think you shit on the fans that are like the shitty side.
The stupid ones. Yeah. But the thing is, I shit on WWE fans because I was like them once. When I was like, I'm infamously, for people first time listening or first time in the chat, years ago, 10 Twitter profiles ago. that's going to pop Jackie and Kyle for sure. But I was blocked by Kenny Omega when I was like the WWE guy, and I didn't know who Kenny Omega was. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy talking shit, blah, blah, blah. But then like Ant and G-Rod, when I did Rant with Ant, were like, bro, you got to watch Omega Okada, stayed up, watched New Japan, changed my life. Then I'm like, oh shit. And then like you start to venture out, right? I've gone to see Ring of Honor shows and stuff like that. Like there's other great stuff out there. And plus like if you like a wrestler, like if you were an Aleister Black fan, and he showed up in AEW. I guess you're watching AEW now. Like, what the fuck? Like, the reason I started watching TNA is because I'm a Tessa fan, and she showed up in TNA. And now, in doing that, I started to fall in love with a lot of the wrestlers that were there. I was a big Deonna fan when she was in NXT because of Aunt. Aunt's the biggest Deonna fan. She's in TNA, and now she's here. It's all good, man. I think right now it's the best time to be a wrestling fan. We see all these free agent moves happening. And we can kind of transition to that with Okada and Mercedes. Okada would have never shown up in the Rumble. His contract is not up in for a while, for like another month, right?
There's no relationship between New Japan and WWE right now, so I don't know why people were expecting in the Rumble. I was laughing at that all weekend. I'm like, Kyle, don't type anything. Just don't type anything because you're just gonna ask for it. But in my head, I'm going, you guys, it's very, very simple. There's no relationship between WWE and New Japan Pro Wrestling. There is one between Impact and WWE. Clearly, they have that very, it looks like very tiny thing where, you know, it gives them exposure.
I just do think it's weird that none of WWE's champions are in the Rumble and Impact and TNA's champions in the Rumble. So it's like their way of being like, you're lesser than ours because like Jordan Grace would be fighting for a chance against them. And Isaac, to answer your question real quick, Tessa is wrestling in CMLL. She's doing great things over there. She won a tournament a couple months ago. She's in the tag team right now. So, I mean, hey, listen, I know like Steffi says, who cares? But like Tessa's still a great wrestler. I know she comes with a bunch of baggage and a bunch of bullshit. So feel free to hate her. But it is what it is. But also, like I said, no Mercedes. And then obviously no Okada. So how do you feel, you know, now that we're going into Revolution and it seems like all signs are reporting to or seeing like it's going to be Ospreay, Okada, Mercedes within that week of stuff.
Yeah. Ant just popped me in the chat here because Punk is hurt, so I got to be an AW fan again. I'm just going to sip my drink to CM Punk being injured again. That sucks.
Oh, no.
All right, but can you repeat your question?
No, I was like, so how do you feel that after the Rumble, now all, you know, before we get to Mania season, we're going to get through Revolution. We have a sold-out show.
Which is AEW's WrestleMania.
Yeah. Listen, I know people who watched Elite POV before. Tony Khan in an interview said, I'm busted open. Back when that show wasn't a fucking shit show that it is now. Ant's popping me in the chat.
Yeah.
So Tony Khan said on that show a long time ago that he views Revolution as their WrestleMania. Now, we also interviewed Ty and Sammy. That's on our YouTube channel. Little plug for us, right? Did a great interview with Ty and Sammy. And they said that Sammy and Ty agreed that Double or Nothing is what the talent views as WrestleMania, their WrestleMania. Tony, in that interview, said Revolution. So the joke is that Revolution. But listen. Yeah. You have Sting's last match. You have a 15,000-seat arena sold out already. Mm-hmm. They had to open up more seats because it's Sting's final match. And you have – we already know Will Ospreay is starting with the company that night officially. And now with the rumor of Okada and Mercedes coming in, either that night or the Dynamite before or after. So it's going to be a huge night. Like, how do you feel that? Like, kind of all signs are pointing to that now.
I mean – was the rumor saying that like Mercedes is for sure back wrestling in North America. She's going to Japan right now, but she'll be back in North America. She's probably going to the Taylor Swift concert, to be honest, because isn't Taylor Swift going over there?
I mean, is Mercedes a Taylor Swift fan? Just because I'm a huge
Who knows? Taylor Swift fan. Maybe she is. Anyways, but yeah, it says she's gonna be good to wrestle in March. So coincidentally, March 3rd is Revolution. So maybe she makes an appearance. Maybe not a physical appearance, but you know, makes an appearance. Maybe like the end of the women's title match, or confront. Maybe there's like another women's segment that she confronts someone. Because hey, don't say that. No, there's not gonna be two women's segment on the pay per view, because the deal is, when she comes in AEW, there's two women's segments.
Yeah, every show. Because remember, that was what was being reported. Plus, didn't Andrew Zarian say that he's hearing, like, after Revolution? Like, the week after Revolution for Mercedes?
Oh, yeah, because they don't have, right now, they don't have the Dynamite for post-Revolution booked, which is hilarious because it's January 30th. So, like... Yeah, you might want to announce it in the next week or two so you can get some tickets sold.
You mean when the all out tickets went on sale like July and it was the end of August? In September. We were like, hello.
Yeah, we want to go. We're planning a trip here.
Like, let's go, bro. Like
I'm flying. Like, yeah. What's going on?
We had Carrie coming in from another country. Like, bro, come on.
But yeah, I mean, maybe they're trying to secure a venue. Maybe there's like issues with securing whatever is going on. Like maybe like, oh, I mean like the NBA is still going on, right? What if like it's
in the NBA still going right? on. All I'm saying playing. Is all. Yeah. First of all, you said the NBA and then you said the Bruins, like the Celtics.
Yeah.
You said NBA, but your mind still went to hockey. That was funny.
Yeah. But I meant as an addition. I didn't mean the same thing. You know, the Boston Bruins are playing the NBA and the Celtics NBA. Play hockey.
But no, so like funny that you bring that up, right? Because I was talking to Rob, good brother Rob, and he texted me today and he was like, bro, if they announce that Dynamite's in Boston, we are going. And I was like, and I asked Brittany and I was like, yo, is this cool? And she was like, yeah, if you can make it work, we'll make it work. But I'm like, shit. Because if it's Boston, it's got to be Mercedes, right? Like it just.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say that they won't do that. They literally, for Punk's debut, they announced the show at the United Center and call it the fucking Last Dance. It's if it's going to be
what basketball reference nature, can they use from the Celtics?
Like Mercedes is just as big of a superstar as Punk. So if you even if you do the same thing, look what they did, right? They did that with Punk and they sold out that thing. So what if that you know that he got the TD Garden secured? And he did one of these types of announcements, you'd sell that place out if knowing that Mercedes was coming in.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny too, me and Kyle were talking before the show. It's like, Kyle hated the Mercedes Moné song. And now all we do is send it back and forth to each other.
Yeah. And I was like, money.
Money.
And then today it went back on Apple Music, I guess. I guess it's still working on coming back to Spotify, but, hilarious.
Yeah, the version that I found when I typed it in was a guy rapping over it.
I heard that today. I found that on Spotify. I'm like, yo, why is this one better than the original?
Yeah, I was like, wait, is this her new one? Like, is that why they took the old one off? Because this one has lyrics.
Oh, man. You know what? Just take it, Mercedes. Just take that theme song, give it to Mikey, and let Mikey rap over it because Mikey's just going to do like a fire job.
Who's the dude from NXT? Russell and Flow? Oh, let him rap over
it. Yeah, Russell Flow. Yeah.
Russell Flow.
He did my boy Spears' theme, so
he does Serena's theme, who had a great comeback match on Collision. Yeah. But no, it's just exciting times. I think, you know, Tony Khan put out that tweet last week where he was like, 2024 AEW is looking like 2021 AEW, which was a huge year as a, you know, regards to
all
signings.
All out 2021 was Bryan Danielson and
Adam Cole
debuting the same night. So that makes me think, yo, he's going to pull the trigger and we're going to get Okada and Mercedes in the same damn night.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what we typed in the chat. We're like, yep, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania. Let's go, baby. Let's go. But some other news that Kyle told me right before we went live in regards to why Julia from Stardom has not been contacted by AEW. And Kyle, if you want to show people what you found.
So, guys, so this was reported by SRS. So everyone's wondering why or wondering what Julia, and this news kind of points to where she's probably Fed bound. Had a deep indigestion burp there. Anyways, so SRS was told by AEW that she stiffs the hell out of people. Willow had to miss, and specifically her match with Willow, I guess Willow was forced to miss an Owen tourney match because of how stiff she was with Willow. And I guess there's a lot of Joshis in AEW that are part of a Joshi promotion called Ice Ribbon that Julia had a bad falling out with. And it kind of rubbed all the Joshi wrestlers there the wrong way. But basically, like SR still said, still take this with a grain of salt. It may be the reason, it may not be the reason, but basically he's more looking like the reason is, or kind of finding out the reason is, that Willow was okay that the match was stiff. It was just, you know, it rubbed her the wrong way after the match because Julia didn't check in on Willow and see if she was okay after the match. Like, see, like, you know, I know the match was kind of stiff back and forth. Were you okay? Kind of thing. So, I mean, it could have been just one of those times where Julia kind of just maybe forgot, or, you know,
the interesting thing is that when it comes to news, like the dirt sheet news or whatever, I found that Fightful has always been the most honest, because when they do get things wrong, like when SRS, everyone has been throwing this in his face, he got the Punk thing wrong. He manned up and said, I got it wrong. This is why I got it wrong. And the day of the show still tweeted, hey, Punk is there. Like, I heard he's there. He put, you know, if you sign up to their Patreon, you get stuff like that. And then he explained why Punk was like 3 days before. And then Triple H in the press conference says Punk. So to me, if Fightful is getting information, it's like 99%, right? Of course, there's the 1% where it's like people are fucking with them to do, hey, maybe somebody in AEW is like, let's just make this fucking story up because whatever, it's possible. But if it is true, which is probably is, it's pretty crazy, right? We hear so many great things about Julia. She's an incredible wrestler. You know, besides Mercedes, definitely the next best female free agent that was out there.
Yeah.
All the reports for the last couple of months is that she's going to WWE. And a lot of people from AEW, myself included, were like, if you're building up this women's division, why would you not at least call her? It's weird that they wouldn't call her. And yeah. I don't know. But if this is true, it makes sense. Because if you remember when Willow had her match on Rampage, the Owen match, it got moved. And they had to kind of maneuver stuff around and stuff like that because she had gotten injured. And she did wrestle Julia for the New Japan Strong Women's title that Julia has right now. So it's like the signs are pointing that it's true. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's interesting. It's a very, very interesting take on, you know, why, cause you know, if you think that maybe if this wasn't true, that she'd be already signed with AEW already. Right.
Yeah. Because and that's another thing. I think you mentioned it, Kyle, when we were talking that, there's a show, the Windy City Ride is coming up in April for New Japan.
Yeah.
And that Julia was supposed to essentially lose the title on that show because that's their next American show for New Japan. So she got pulled from it, which means that she's obviously not coming to AEW because AEW has a working relationship. So they would have just had her wrestle it. I mean, AEW announced Ospreay signing in December and he's wrestled a whole run.
It sucks though. I mean, if Julia is comfortable, you know, probably even, you know, talk to some Joshis that are over there, if she's comfortable with the way, I mean, in my opinion, I really don't agree with the way Japanese and in, you know, overseas wrestlers are booked over there. Like a lot of the Joshis are not really booked properly in WWE. And I don't know, again, like I brought up before, like, is it the language barrier thing that they don't know how to deal with? Yeah. But, you know, but they're still doing cool things. I mean, with like Io Sky, from what I saw, like, is their world champion.
Yeah, she's a champion. I mean, is she highlighted in that run? Yeah. Probably not. All I keep seeing is them as a group, but.
Yeah. We'll see if she's going to be booked like a big star or not. But I don't know. To me right now, it's like, yeah, there's like, obviously, like, there's going to be people that are not signed to WWE that, you know, maybe it's their dream to go to WWE. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm wondering if these people have a thought in their mind going, oh, is it the best time to be joining right now because of what's all is going on and potentially not over yet, right? Because, like, Vince is gone, but, like, there's a lot of people in that lawsuit that if it doesn't go, if it goes to arbitration or doesn't go to arbitration, that one of those, that the names will basically all be released publicly.
I think if it doesn't go to arbitration,
then it'll be all released.
Yeah, publicly. And the stock for TKO has already gone down. Not at 10 times. Fucking, it'll be fine, right? There's like a 90% chance. Who gives a shit in a month, right? But maybe this time they actually, the people who are doing evil fucking things get caught.
But so I hope that they actually do something, because like too many times shit like this gets swept under the rope or swept under the rug. And what's it going to take for stuff to actually happen and get done? Because I feel like that's not really justice at that point, right?
Yeah.
That's just doing what they always do, is just sweep stuff under the rug, and then it's just going to leave the door open for this shit to happen again.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't actually, like, they need to actually do something about it so that it actually doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And it's disgusting what happened. And it's, I don't understand how it's like, especially what Triple H said in the press conference with
horrible
saying comments. That he didn't really, you're telling me you didn't fucking, that's a load of shit. I don't care. You people, I will argue to someone until I'm blue in the face that if someone wants to come to me and say that he didn't read it, because that's a load of crap. You're telling me your father-in-law, who's going through this absolutely nuts lawsuit, that you
could potentially end the company. Like, let's be honest, could really alter the way the company is publicly viewed. You know, so it's rough. And especially as a female wrestler, like, it is shocking that someone like Julia would go over there. But if she has this reputation and other companies aren't reaching out, so it's like,
I don't want the drones to come after me, Steffi. She's like, she wants me to do another song lyric thing, but do it for Punk's theme songs. I don't want WWE Junkie and Gareth, all them fucking coming after me. I'm not.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
I'm sick and tired of their fucking childish bullshit. I have them all blocked and muted for a reason.
Yeah, I have a lot of them blocked. Yeah. I think the ones you named definitely blocked, but I have a lot of them blocked. People are fucking stupid. But listen, AEW is hitting on all cylinders right now. You know, we had a great Dynamite, an excellent Collision.
Oh, Collision was so good this week.
We can start off with Collision because that's fresh in our minds. That cage match.
Holy crap.
And I know a little kind of side to the cage match. You know, Meltzer and Alvarez were reporting that Malakai and Buddy Matthews that they don't want to do jobs, and that's why the match got changed to an escape the cage. Will Washington came out and said that that's not true, that it was always escape the cage. And Brody came out.
I am on Washington's side there, because I remember when they first announced it, I specifically remember that being said on commentary.
Yeah.
So I don't know where
the graphic was just wrong or whatever, you know, it happens. But so with that aside, right, because that's something we do have to mention and bring up. But the match itself, excellent. It's almost like Tony Khan was like, hey, it's Jackie's birthday weekend. Let's give her another incredible FTR House of Black match.
That is a rumble, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll have Daniel Garcia have this like superhero moment coming back from the dead, getting jumped, and they had an incredible match. You know, oh my god, he's so over
right now. Add him to the pillar story, because what he's done is taken this JAS character and kind of made into his own, and people have now bought into it.
Yeah,
but he's also a fucking unreal wrestler in the ring.
Yeah, he's incredible.
So he literally has like almost a complete package.
Yeah, and the cool thing is like, so when AEW first started, there was a list of young guys. And I mean, at the time, it was just Britt Baker that people were like, these are the future. And we've watched Britt Baker, Hangman, Darby, Sammy, MJF, Jungle Boy all become great, right? Now it seems like and over the past, year and a half, we've seen Wheeler Yuta become this incredible wrestler. But now it's Daniel Garcia's turn, which I something I love about AEW is what I loved about Black and Gold NXT. You mix these legends, these indie and international legends, with these younger guys and girls and really showcase them, right? Daniel Garcia wants to be here. He keeps tweeting about it. He does interviews about it and stuff like that. And I know his contract's up at the end of next year, I believe, or at some point next year. He hasn't resigned yet. So it's like they're really making a case that this kid could be the future for the company. And he's great, and the match is fucking great. The booking decision to have Buddy and Cash on the outside trying to escape. Cash goes through the table, so technically he escapes. But then Buddy's able to come back in the ring, like he's about to go back in the ring. Yeah. That was so cool to me.
Yeah, that was, and I think that's like the first time, didn't it? Isn't that the first time they ever did a cage match where you had to go over the top and escape? I think I'm almost certain. Wasn't that? Not?
Yeah, because what in the past they've done it where it didn't matter. Because remember, I think Wardlow and Cody were like on the outside. No, it wasn't Wardlow and Cody. Was it Kenny and Moxley? Because they went through the cage, right?
Yeah, and then Blood and Guts is like their Hell in a Cell almost in a way. Or
well,
their
Blood
war
and Guts
games,
is their War Games. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't really have a Hell in a Cell. I don't think so, right? Not they haven't done something like that. Oh, yeah. Well, heck in a cap, right? That's what we called it?
Yeah, heck in a cap.
But Aunt Poppy Meltzer tucks his t-shirt into his jeans. I remember seeing that guy walk by us at the first All In and being like, Jesus, the fuck is that? But it's just great. And then we saw another great thing that we saw on Collision was Kyle's girl, who, listen, I really like Mariah May, but that is Kyle's girl. He gets all dibs. He was on the Mariah May train early.
I don't want to be put in that boat where what do they call it? The simps. I ain't a simp, Mariah May. I'm a big fan of hers. Let me just put that in the universe. Big fan of her. She's great, especially because it's her in-ring work. Yeah, she's a beautiful lady. I'm not going to lie. But her in-ring work is what I'm a bigger fan of. She is so good in that ring. And if you guys didn't see the match on Collision, please go back and watch that.
Against Lady Frost.
Last match, which is really good. She's incredible in the ring. I am a simp for Jamie Hayter and Jamie Hayter only.
But so, listen, that shotgun dropkick that Mariah May does is done so crisp. And aggressive and so strong. It's just like, that it's funny because I keep saying this because it blows my mind when I see it. It's like when you look at Mariah May, you're thinking of a Mandy Rose type wrestler, right?
Yeah.
And then she wrestles and you're like, oh shit, that's right. You wrestled in Stardom. Like you're Tony Storm. And it's just funny because they're doing the whole storyline with Tony Storm, but it's like, yo, she is such a good wrestler and she be beating the shit out of these girls. And shout out to Lady Frost too. Because Lady Frost has been doing some cool things in Ring of Honor, and she has an awesome moveset. We saw that, like, flip, the, like, cartwheel flip thing. Yeah. Fucking dope. And then her moonsault's cool. Lady Frost is awesome. That was a great match to showcase both of them.
So do you think Storm's going to lose the belt to Deonna? Because, like, I really want it to be Mariah May, though. Like, I think that would be a really cool story to finally, like... But I feel like that also could be a good just one-on-one match. But I don't know what the plan is with that. Like, is it eventually going to, like, lead to, like, is it a match between them or Mariah just leaving on her own? Or, like, is Double or Nothing maybe a site for Mariah May and Toni Storm? Is it going to be for the title, non-title? If it's a non-title, I'd still be down for it because, like, that's still a great story there, right? She keeps wanting Toni Storm to watch her matches, and Toni Storm just keeps making up excuses. Like, she was so excited for it. And I don't know if anyone saw the... They did like an exclusive like post Dynamite interview with Toni Storm.
They put it on Collision too.
And okay, so they did. So she basically said like, where are they? Boy, like Boisier, and she's like, oh no,
I'm not allowed there.
I'm not allowed there.
I'm not allowed there.
So like, I feel like that's eventually gonna lead to like finding Mariah May cracking, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it all depends on where Mercedes is fitting in. Right. So, obviously, Julia right now, Julia Hart, I should say, now there's two Julias, but Julia Hart is injured. She's not cleared to wrestle yet. That's why she's only doing like outside stuff. We saw it in the cage match, her spit the miss in the Daniel Garcia. And let's see where that goes.
I didn't even know she's injured.
Yeah. But it's being reported that she's like dealing with an injury or something. That's why she's off TV right now. I think SRS said that, or I saw somebody say it. But you know who's her next feud?
I kind of think what Ant thinks in the chat. I think
that Britt would be her first feud.
What if they did like Mercedes? Remember Triple H Undertaker for the 27 build, WrestleMania 27, where Undertaker came back and then, like, literally, like, in the entrance while he's in the ring, Triple H just came right out.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
had
yeah.
his hair down. Could do something.
They
like
could
that
do that, yeah, and build to Double or Nothing for them, yeah. too. That'd be cool. But see, like, where's Julia going? Where's Mercedes going to fit in? Because, you know, Deonna could beat Tony. Ooh, and then you could do, like, Tony and Mariah. I don't know.
Hold up. I think you do a long feud with Britt and Mercedes. I think you have the stare down happen at Revolution, and you build that shit all summer until All In.
Oh, yeah.
And you do, like, that's a big, like, marquee women's match.
You
and
by keep then, them separate from each other.
Exactly. Maybe one of them win the title by then, and it's for the AEW World Championship, Women's World Championship. There you go. You got a money match right there.
No. Monet so Isaac match. Saying, do you think, you got a Monet match right there. Isaac goes, you think they'll eventually give us the woman blood and guts that got teased a while back? Maybe when everyone's here right. healthy. They definitely have the roster for it now, because it's not just having the physical amount of women for it. It's having the right women with the right stories. If you kind of, obviously when Britt comes back and Jamie Hayter comes back, they have unfinished business with Tony. So they get involved in that. And then Deonna and Britt have history. You throw Mercedes into that fire. You have Sheeta, you have a bunch of moving parts that you could do right away. You know, obviously Sky Blue, because God forbid Tony Khan books anything. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sky Blue versus Will Ospreay for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship and All In.
You know what? The gift.
Book it.
Book it.
Book it. Book it. It's the women's division is stacked. You still have Statlander and Willow and Queen Aminata. And it's an awesome division. Thunder Rosa just came back. I know Anne hates her, but she's looking really good in her comeback.
I'm glad they're doing this thing with Ty Valkyrie and
Deonna.
And Johnny. Like they've actually put the couple together now, and
yeah.
they look like they could really be that, like, just like hateful wrestling couple on TV, like the Edge and Lita from back in the day. Oh, they can totally do that with those.
And it takes place like Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett were that couple, and now that Maria is mostly in Ring of Honor, or pretty much in Ring of Honor with Griff Garrison and Cole Carter, I think his name is, and then Ben is doing his stuff with the Kingdom, so it's like. They can be like Taya and Johnny TV, I think his name is right here.
Yeah,
they could be good. Yeah, like I always want to call him John Morrison. No, I think he's Johnny TV.
Yeah,
but it'd be cool, right? And I don't know,
Johnny Elite. Is it Johnny Elite? I don't know what the fuck his Johnny name is in this promotion.
He's either Johnny TV.
No, I'm gonna look it up. You keep talking. I'm gonna look it up real quick.
But another great women's match we had on Collision that I want to give a shout out to is Serena Deeb. She wrestled Renegade or Charlotte Renegade. I think it was Robin Renegade. I think Charlotte's her.
One of them.
Yeah, I think it was Robin Renegade. Great match. The Renegades are awesome. There is such a good team, such Johnny good wrestlers. TV. But is it Johnny TV?
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. But Serena Deeb cut a great promo after the match, basically saying, like, I'm here to run shit. Maybe her and Julia is the next feud, you know, because Serena, of course, being a coach herself, works excellent with younger talent, like the same with Thunder Rosa. So they could do cool. I know Thunder Rosa at the end of her match called out, like, both champions to see what's going on. So it's just exciting, the women's division right now with Mercedes potentially coming in. A lot of stories being told at once, a lot of stuff happening. This Statlander and Willow story that's playing out on Rampage. Even Rampage is good. I know people like Ant who have maybe, not really watched AEW
so
as much. You know, Rampage has been really good.
That's one of the questions I actually brought up. I know it's been recently booked pretty good. Mm-hmm. Should it still exist?
No. Because we have Collision.
That's what I mean. Like, I just feel like Rampage is... I'm like, yeah, they're doing a good job with the booking and they're putting some, matches on there to try to get people to watch. But the time slot and the way they use Rampage, I'm like it's
to me, it's the fatigue of the crowd. Because remember, Rampage is taped after Dynamite and then Ring of Honor is taped after Collision. And you can feel it. Like, Ring of Honor has done some amazing things lately, especially with, like, Athena and Billy Starks and Nyla Rose. They're having a great feud over there. They're doing a lot of cool, fun stuff with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. But it's like, The crowd is so tired. Like, they'll pop, but they're not going to pop the way they would on Dynamite or Collision. And we saw that crowd go absolutely wild on Collision this week and be an absolute shit show on Dynamite. That Dynamite crowd was fucking awful for that great show that they had. So it's like, you know, that Rampage after Dynamite, you had no shot.
Yeah.
It was still a great Rampage. We had, you know, Moxley in a match against Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty versus John Moxley Moriarty.
Yeah. And Ant's right in the chat. I mean, he says it should never existed. It was a catalyst for Punk's return. I think the original idea for Rampage is what Collision is right now. You know what I mean? Like a second brand. I mean, they remember they originally called Collision the extension of Dynamite. Now it's literally its own separate show.
Yeah.
So Rampage is like the extension of Dynamite. And it's just, no, it's not working. I think they really just need to, it might have to do with the TV deal, really.
So I know their new TV deal is coming up, right?
Yeah. I think that point you just.
With Ring of Honor and stuff, I think. Yeah. You put Ring of Honor in Rampage's
spot. Literally.
That's it. And you can keep the same time and everything. You just put it there and we move on. I mean, look, it's cool that it's.
You're showing it. That'd be showing a day later, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're showing it on Honor Club on Thursday nights. Yeah. What's the. Like, you can. Man, it's just literally show it live on TV on that time slot. I think that's fine for where it is. And that way you're giving some ROH promotion and they can do some cool things with live TV. I don't know. It just, and if he really wants to pull the trigger, I mean, have Ring of Honor be your developmental brand. I know it's literally like copying both companies copy each other in little ways. Don't tell me that they don't. Fucking Austin Theory literally has the guns entrance right now with the bang.
Well, him and
Grayson
Waller, I think his name is.
Yeah. So like they both companies copy each other in little ways. So it is what it is. Just have it be your developmental brand. Just do it. Like I don't understand why you won't want to pull the trigger with that.
I think this year with the rankings coming back, with them going back to the more sports-based presentation, which also, if you guys didn't see, is being reported that Netflix wants WWE to be a more sports-based presentation, which is fucking hilarious. They want AEW, which is awesome.
What do you know? What the hell did I just fucking say? Yeah.
There's that. And then, like, it you know, with the tease of this going to be 2021, AEW is kind of reshifting their focus to better things, to the way the original vision we see with the new and improved storyline that the Young Bucks are in right now, which is fucking fantastic.
Oh my god.
The EVPs backstage, they're focusing on Hangman and Swerve, you know, picking matches for each other and who's going to get to face Joe, which we all kind of see the writings on the wall. It's probably going to be a triple threat match. And they're doing a lot of cool things. So I feel like with the TV deal, Rampage will kind of sort itself out. It'll either get killed off like a lot of people want, or it'll get transformed into Ring of Honor, which is what I want.
Did you see the logo that they put, or the promotional poster they put out today? It looks exactly like the wild, like Cody poster with like all the flames and the two brandies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They did the same thing with Swerve. Yeah. Everyone in the comments was like, put this on a t-shirt now. So everyone's about, man, they just made like shit ton of sales and t-shirts. So I hope they put it on Pro Wrestling Tees, but that was funny when I seen that. Cool. Like, oh my god, it's really like almost the same thing. But
I think your internet's starting to go out.
Me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah
you're like, oh god.
Maybe I just was talking really fast.
Maybe.
Anybody
it's so funny. Like, anybody in the chat? Oh,
if we do get cut out, there was a big thing with my internet today. Is it still doing it?
Yeah, I think so. It's still you're like coming in and out though.
Oh, what the hell?
You sound like Twista. Oh, you're back. Okay.
Well,
what kind of?
Well, there was a giant like internet thing today. Like, they got taken out today. I'll show everybody. So basically, someone drove over the internet. There you guys see. I don't know, some sort of internet tower, and there's a destruction from it.
and it looks like Punk's shoulder.
And basically, it's been
was it his shoulder that got hurt?
Sorry, no, it's torn tricep.
Oh, it's tricep. Why am I doing that fast? Ant says you need to just sign. That's all right. It happens, right? Internet's gonna internet.
I can't hear you. What?
I hear you.
So that if Ant, refresh your stream then.
Can you guys hear Kyle? Huh? Oh, I can't refresh.
No, no, not you. Like oh, yeah. I can
if I refresh my
hear, I can hear me so fast. What the hell? I don't know how to fix that.
Whatever. Real quick before we go out, and we'll hear Kyle talk about it fast because so the graphic. Forbidden Door. So obviously Triple H makes this stupid fucking comment in the press conference. Shout out to Rocky Romero on Twitter just posting Forbidden Door, right? You know, and I don't know if this is true or not, but you know, people were saying that can you guys hear me at least? Is the question before I say what I'm gonna say. Cliche door, that's silly and stupid. Yeah. Am I coming through good, Ant? Before I say what I gotta say. Ant, am I coming through? Good. All right, good, good. So, you know, with AEW's partnership being with CMLL, we're going to get to see them on this week's Rampage. I just hope, fingers crossed, that means Tessa's coming eventually. I know everyone's going to hate it, but I'll be happy. Fuck you guys, all right? Give me what I fucking want for once. But if they're working with CMLL and New Japan, and we don't know what their relationship with TNA is like. It seems like it doesn't really exist anymore. But, you know, I know TNA is open for business. Scott D'Amore has said that. So maybe they can kind of rekindle it, do something cool. Maybe at Forbidden Door, we get more companies involved than just AEW and New Japan. Of course, I think we talked about in this show that maybe the next Forbidden Door might be in Japan. So maybe that will bring like a TNA or something else to the table that may have not been there with AEW. But, you know, Kyle, you might talk really fast and really crazy. But do you think that they're going to add more companies?
Yes. Did that come through really fast?
Oh, you're fine.
I am good. Am I good? Do I sound really fast?
Yeah, you're good. You're on a little bit delay with the video, but your audio sounds perfect.
I apologize.
So it's going to be something.
Like I said, there was a huge fiber optics mess today with my internet provider because of the accident I showed on screen there. Anyone listening over audio, I apologize for that. And literally, there's nothing else I could do about that. So anyways.
It'd be like that.
Yeah, Forbidden Door, I think it's going to include, like we talked about last episode, right? Like it's going to be tough to just do New Japan this year because of the names that are left with New Japan compared to AEW, and a lot of the topper talent are now into AEW, like Ospreay and Okada, just to name a few there. But now they show that there's this working relationship with CML because next Rampage, funny enough that we talked about Rampage disappearing, now they want to keep highlighting Rampage. Yeah, I swear they listen to the show. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, they listen to this damn show. But anyways, now they're going to showcase the Luchadors on CMLL this coming Friday, which is awesome. I'm glad because I think it's just going to be some wild ass wrestling now. And they work really fast, so they can get like five matches done in 15 minutes.
Holy shit, you ain't lying. That Fatal 4-Way was dope.
So wouldn't it be like a cool thing now, especially after the comments Triple H made? Wouldn't it be a wild thing now to do is just do a massive Forbidden Door event where it includes AEW, TNA, CMLL, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and just have a fucking wild night of just like
whoever.
There's a match with CMLL versus TNA on that night. There's a match with AEW versus CMLL. There's a match with New Japan and TNA on that night. You know what I mean? Or New Japan and CMLL. Like there's just like matches everywhere on that card, and it's just a wild Forbidden Door night, right? Like all companies so coming together.
Is saying Forbidden Door with Progress. Isn't Progress owned by WWE?
Yeah, I thought they bought them now.
Yeah, isn't that why they fucking killed one of the coolest promotions that I've ever fucking seen? That's where I found out about Toni Storm was Progress. She's Progress Women's Champion. And Walter and fucking his match with Riddle. Oh my God, bro.
Yeah, So yeah, that'd be really, really cool. I love how Rocky Romero, like during the press conference or the day after, tweeted out Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door. Just tweeted out. Like, fuck you, bro. Like,
I love it.
And but see, that this is what pisses me off about WWE. Like,
they're petty.
If you work with other companies, like Jermaine saying WWE and Progress and Longer together, thank God. So Progress can come back and be fucking awesome again.
Yeah, if they start building up again, sure. Because I really, not to put anything against Progress, you're amazing. I just, you don't really hear really too much about Progress right now, right? Unless you're local.
Pro, isn't that a big promotion in the UK?
But you're amazing's local, right? So like, obviously you're going to hear a lot about that promotion. Over here in North America, it's never talked about.
It was, though, before.
It was, yeah. Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
Sheesh, Ant.
I'm not even going to say that. I, for the life of me right now, because it's so fresh, I can't make any more jokes. But just because I unfortunately read that entire lawsuit.
I've read it too.
It's rough. I had to stop and go. I didn't read all in one night. I stopped at one point where there was the defecating, and then I had to come back to it.
Yeah, you heard that right, people.
Yeah, you heard. I'm not even going to go into detail as to what that entails.
Read that shit, bro. Yeah, read it. If it's nuts, but I don't know if you know. Like I was saying, a lot of the fans of WWE would appreciate something like Forbidden Door, especially if you're bringing in overseas talent like a Julia. Like, imagine if they worked with Stardom or something, and then you had Julia versus...
The only people that have a problem with it are the executives, right? Like, like the wrestlers all are friends with each other.
Yeah, they want to work together.
You don't have... I guarantee Roman Reigns is not sitting in the Fed and not, you know, shit-texting Kenny Omega, you fucking plug.
Did you guys see the interview with Kofi at Rumble?
Yeah.
Like, for people who haven't seen it, during Rumble weekend, they asked Kofi, like, what's your dream match? It was Kofi, Big E, and Xavier. Yeah. And Kofi was like, the Young Bucks. And Big E's like, what? Like, you know, he's almost like completely horizontal. And Kofi's like, what? Like, I want to fight the Young Bucks. We're bringing Mickey James came in through the Forbidden Door. Like, why can't the Young Bucks? And it's like, why not?
Exactly. But like, it's, you know, especially AEW and WWE. I don't think the execs can come together to agree on an event where they both benefit. Yeah. one has to be better than, like, one has to over.
And especially with all this talk of like Ricky Starks and House of Black, and are people unhappy? Are they not unhappy?
Well, Ricky Starks literally just went on New Orleans news and promoted the whole fucking show, man. Like,
it's like if why not do trades? I know it's business and it's contracts, but it's like, people don't want to, like Andrade, if he would have had another year left on his contract, like, yo, we'll send you Andrade and give us Drew McIntyre. Like, Drew clearly doesn't want to be there because he would have re-signed already, unless there's something big planned that he's waiting to see if it happens. But it's like, yo, they, like, let's start moving people
around.
Here's
a sports feel. Add trades.
The fuck?
Restructure the contracts where if you get traded, you know, it could be like as your contract's still going on with, you know, like it could be like in that situation, like say both like Drew McIntyre's is coming up soon, but let's just say Andrade still had a year and a half left. The deal would be is like whatever we're paying Andrade, you're going to now pay him for the rest of his contract, whatever we're paying him. And then whatever Drew's left in his contract, we're going to take pay him over here.
Yeah.
Like that would be a really cool sports based thing.
And listen, as much as I give shit to the Fed, some people work better over there. Chelsea Green works way better over there than she would have ever worked in AEW. And Deonna Purrazzo works way better here than she ever did in WWE. So it's like, it all works out in the end. You get people where they got to go, and you watch what you want to watch, but fuck the Fed still. But it's like, Finn Balor's contract's reportedly coming up. So, like, if you can kind of maneuver, like, Ant from day one has always said, and he mentions it in the chat right now, Cody Rhodes works perfectly in WWE. If you want to send Jericho back to WWE, let him go back. You know, Ant saying Drew Galloway main eventing All In. I think Osprey main events.
They might have just planted the seeds for Galloway and Punk to fight when he comes back, so. I think that guy's resigned. I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I kind of feel like he's going to resign. I don't know. It's just me, but whatever.
Probably. But you know, like Sheamus, his contract's reportedly coming up. So there's some moving that could happen if Miro and CJ don't want to be here no more. If CJ even has a finger left, because yeah. Poor girl, man.
You just got to be excited, man. They got to stop. The tribalism is just getting overdone. And
well, especially when it's fucking
it's over when it's over stupid thing. It's over the stupid. Sorry, I got to rephrase it. It's over the stupid things, like when people are shitting on and arguing with each other over like stupid things, like ratings and like the venues and AEW should be doing like say, yeah, we get it. AEW knows that everybody knows their problem, and now they've put it in place that they're gonna redo their touring dates. They literally right now they can't just cancel the dates that they already that they have in play. Yeah. They have to go through those now.
It's booked up to Revolution, right? Because the next. If the Dynamite after
well, there's the Canada tour as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but Canada's like, great market.
Besides the Canada tour, there's no other like American dates past the Revolution, so they're gonna be restructuring everything.
With AEW, what I want to see this year, obviously towards the end of the year, because it takes some planning. Maybe around All In, they could do it. Carrie always brings up a great point. They need to start touring overseas. They need to do Impact will go there for like 2 weeks. Yeah. And film a bunch of shit and just let's get, you know what I mean? If you got a fucking bank collisions and dynamites, maybe you're there for 2 weeks, but you film 3 weeks or you film the third week, whatever. But it's like, let's get into some new markets because overseas loves AEW. You saw the business that All In did and the business that it's already doing so far out. And you have such a international roster. Go into Mexico, do a show in Mexico, do a show in the UK, do a show in Japan, and obviously you have to record them because of the TV times and stuff, but you recorded an episode of fucking Dynamite on the Jericho Cruise. Like, you know, you can do cool, let's go back to doing cool shit like that. And the Jericho Cruise was this past weekend. So it's like, let's do some fun stuff, man. It doesn't have to be this WWE model, right? That a lot of people, including myself, are fucking tired of. Like, give us that 2021. Anything can happen in AEW again, and it seems like that's the direction we're going in, and I'm fucking excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be an awesome year. I mean, like I said, they're with everything that's planned with like All In and stuff. I know you before this. You gotta think, right? That they are gonna do something with good old T Swizzle.
I wish
All In because of the concert that's happening at Wembley during that time, right? Whether or not they're going to keep the same stage so that, you know, they don't have to do a lot of maneuvering and such, you know what I mean? Like stage construction and whatnot, because take a look at Taylor Swift's stage right now that she uses for a tour. That'd be sick wrestling stage. I'm just saying that the fucking giant ass screen, just like the bed, man. And I'm way fine with that. So I don't know.
Yo, if Taylor Swift shows up in AEW, Beyonce shows up in WWE.
I'm just saying like Taylor Swift coming out alongside, I don't know.
I gotta get something
like with Mariah May or something. I'm just saying, guys. Like, I think that it wouldn't. I know, and maybe Taylor Swift's not. Maybe she's not a wrestling fan. But
listen, Kyle. Listen. I need everybody in the chat. I need you to put your hands together, and we're gonna pray to our Lord and Savior Taylor Swift. Please show up at All In 2024. Please, with that Super Bowl trophy that you're going to win in 2 weeks, that she herself personally is going to win in 2 weeks. Taylor Swift versus Mercedes Moné confirmed. You heard it here first.
Yo, wouldn't that be a badass entrance if it was Mercedes and like she came out to like, what's the song that
Snoop Dogg
song?
Oh,
no, what?
Bad Blood with Taylor Swift.
Yeah. If she came out to Bad Blood by Taylor Swift and she
It would be Britt. There's no shot because Britt Baker is like a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, okay. So then tweets even, about her. Then Britt Baker.
Yeah. So Britt comes out to Taylor Swift. Mercedes comes out to Snoop Dogg.
Like that would be a wild. Like, come on, man. You could probably make that the main event and it would sell. Like, Jesus. But I'm still hoping for Ospreay and Swerve for all of them.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That just
Ospreay Hangman.
Yeah, it just screams a marquee match.
Yet again, we'll pray to her saint herself, Taylor Swift, Please make Kenny Omega healthy so we can get Omega Okada 5.
I can't believe you have that.
At all in, okay? Shout out to Brittany's friends.
Literally, it's a candle, and it's got like a priest on it, but it's Taylor Swift's face.
It's like an angel. It's like, you know those Catholic angel? Candles? It's like a saint.
It's got like a crown on it, too.
No, it's like...
Does it smell good, at least?
I don't know. I have a bad sense of smell. But I can't smell anything. I don't think it smells like anything. Because the cover is still on. It says Illuminati on it.
Oh, God.
Taylor Swift, confirmed. United confirmed. Kingdom confirmed. Taylor Swift, United Kingdom confirmed. It's a saint, yeah. Because it's like the Catholic candles have saints on them.
Are you talking about the country? Hopefully, because we have to hold up. We have to apologize to Jackie because she heard it like 4 times last episode, and I went back to listen to our last episode, and you said it like 5 times. You called Undisputed Kingdom.
I keep forgetting, bro.
Yeah, I didn't believe Jackie. Kingdom. I thought it was just once, and I went back and listened, and you did
it every like, time. I just did it right now.
No one caught it.
You guys fucking get it, all right? You get it, okay? And right before we get out of here, one thing I do want to bring up, okay? The official coming together and new name of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, Guns Up in the Scissors. Let's go, baby. Let's fucking go. God, dude, the fucking Guns or the Bullet Club Gold theme song is just so...
Oh
fire,
my
bro.
God, it's so good. And I love how like even Austin Gunn says it in the entrance too. He said it last week, and I think he can get all the water out of his mouth. He just sprayed the camera.
Yeah. Oh man. What a great time to be an AEW fan. All three shows are hitting. If you're like Ant, you know, I know Ant, you weren't in here in the very beginning of the show. Someone thought that I was you. So like I look just like him
with glasses.
Well, he wore glasses when he was on here. Remember, he had the blue light glasses.
Oh right, he did. Yeah, I forgot.
Geez, Kyle, tell me Ric Flair's match in 1952 if you're a wrestling fan.
He wrestled.
Tell me Anthony DeCefalo's entire podcasting careers.
Okay, rant with Ant.
Nope, wrong already. It was Wrestle Addict first.
Okay. Well, my favorite was
rant with
10
Ant.
Second
Wait,
rule.
What the fuck was that?
No way. Does it?
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Yo, hey, somebody see that, bro? Yo, oh, look at it again.
Why did Sen Song get a thumbs up?
What the fuck?
Fuck this software, man. I don't like my thumbs up.
Oh, God, bro. Well, listen, it's all three shows are great. Ring of Honor is fucking excellent too. So if you guys can find it, go out there and find it. AEW is incredible. Any final words, Kyle, from this past week in pro wrestling?
Man, it's a great week. Like I said before, and the Rumble is what that was. Again, just because I don't watch the TV show, just found it a little boring. But Collision was a big hit for me. I think they really hit with Collision, becoming a really big collider, and I'm liking the direction that AEW is going. Like I said, they are reverting back to kind of like their old ways in a lot of things with a lot of the production, the way they're doing storylines. It's great. I'm excited. It's a great time to be a AEW fan right now, and I can't wait to go along for the ride now. I mean, for Revolution, I'm so hyped for. Just the potential matches right now, and then, you know, even like again, it is what it is with Sting, and people have their opinions on him and stuff like that. But like, it's going to be exciting to see his very last wrestling match ever, and he deserves a proper send off. And AEW is doing it; they're letting him. They literally let him book this whole thing. Whatever he wanted to do, Tony was going to book it. He wanted a tag team match with Darby, a guy he's been mentoring this entire time with. The Young Bucks, the people who started AEW. So not only is Sting doing a dream match of his, but he's also showing respect to the Young Bucks, who are part of the reasons why AEW exists today. So,
And you know, him and Darby have that title shot coming up. Maybe it goes Darby, Sting, and then the Young Bucks, and we get kind of the rebuilding of the tag division, right? We've seen over the last year, like, and FTR had great runs, but they didn't really give them good opponents. Like, they had that unbelievable little short feud, a set of matches with Bullet Club Gold with Juice and Jay White, but they haven't really been building other tag teams. Private Party's been doing great, which I can't believe I'm saying. Top Flight is back, which is incredible. Like, there's a lot of great stuff happening with the tag team. So you give it back to the Bucks, or if you don't, Sting and Darby and whatever they do after it. Like, yeah. I think it'd be really cool. You give Sting his last match, and Sting has been booked perfectly. Any legend that it comes back in any company, I want them booked the way this thing was booked here.
Yeah.
All I'm saying. No singles fucking title matches.
It's still insane to me. You think of like all the matches that Sting's had in AEW since he started here. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible to do all he's done. Like, think it back to everything at his age. Like, yeah. the tape match that him and Darby did in that fucking like old abandoned factory, which was
unreal. Yeah, oh my god. The bump he just fucking took where he jumped on Hobbs at Daly's place. Like, what the fuck, dude? He's like 60 something years old.
Yeah. Like, he's like 75, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is he?
74, 75, man. The things he's been doing the last couple of years in his 70s is, this is why he deserves a proper send off. The guy has been here for like multiple decades and has transcended in the company. So he went from the stuff he did in WCW, right, to the stuff he did in late in WWE to now stuff in AEW. A guy who's been in like
the stuff. Don't forget companies. Joker staying in TNA, Kyle.
Yeah, sorry, Joker saying TNA. I'm sorry. They still have that full. There's literally a full compilation that TNA has in their YouTube channel. Shout out to their YouTube channel. They put literally everything on there. But they have an entire, like, I think it's like an hour and 20 minute long compilation of like how Joker's thing came about, and it's so
fucking dope.
If anyone hasn't seen it, go on YouTube and watch that.
Sting's 60 plus more durable than CM Punk.
More durable than Punk's triceps.
Let's talk about this real quick before we get out of here. This will be the last thing.
Yeah.
So Isaac puts, did you see what Bubba Ray said about Deonna and Tony's segment? Yeah, I did. And it's why I don't listen to Busted Open anymore, because Bubba Ray's a
Fed show and he won't admit it.
Yeah.
He's like Eric Bischoff.
But to me, it's like, be better at covering it up. Right? Yeah. Like, so for people who don't know, in Deonna and Tony Storm segment, incredible segment, by the way, building their story. You know, we get a second woman segment on the show that's not a pre-tape in the back. We get them on stage in a promo segment, building to their match. That's true, and he did fumble Velvet Sky. Deonna shows that her and Tony Storm have the same ankle tattoo, right? Bully Ray loses his fucking mind. Tell me why that matters. Tell me what that means. Blah, 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 blah. A fan responds and goes, this is literally, after Deonna says it, she goes, this is why I'm showing it, because A, B, C, D, this is what I'm saying. And someone goes, this is what they said in that segment. And Bully Ray goes, have fun playing Dungeons and Dragons in your mom's basement. Like, hold on. They gave you the answer you're looking for. Yeah. So you're screaming for nothing.
Dickhead boomer response. Like, way to go, bud. Way to be a professional about it.
And that's the thing. Like, it's not like Eric Bischoff's a fucking idiot, right?
Yeah.
But he has a stupid fucking show. It's not like some YouTuber. Yeah,
he does it for reasons.
Bully Ray is on the number one wrestling show in the fucking country on Busted Open. It's basically like the ESPN of pro wrestling. And you're an expert who gives expert analysis on everything except when it comes to AEW. And you did you just stop listening after Deonna showed the tattoo? Because they immediately explained
at that point. Like, you're literally being an online bully at that point. Like, you're literally like, there is no reason for that response at all. Like, at all. Like, you're basically in the WWE Gareth junkie side of things doing shit like that. Like, it's fucking embarrassing. But it makes me think that, you know, hilarious that we've joked about it before, Phil, that like Tony Khan has this big, you know, in his might, and that's cool with him. Yeah, you know, he's this obsession with ECW.
Yeah.
Hilarious that Bubba Ray was like a big part of ECW, but we haven't seen him in AEW in any capacity. Makes me think that either one, Tony Khan just hated Bubba Dudley, but hated the Dudleys in ECW, or two, something happened between those two, like behind the scenes. We're now just Bully Ray just shits on AEW all the time now.
Well, the interesting thing is, Tony, if people remember, used to go on Busted Open every Wednesday and promote Dynamite.
Yeah.
And Bully doesn't work Wednesdays normally, right? Tommy Dreamer, Mark Henry, Mickey James, Thunder Rosa, and Dave LaGreca, they all like rotate. Yeah. Bully Ray doesn't do the Wednesday shows in general, but he never, I don't know if he was ever in on the Tony interviews, and brings it up. Bully Ray's on a Legends deal with WWE. The Dudley Boys have a Legends deal. So even like, I know Bully Ray was like, I think a couple weeks ago he tweeted like, do the Hardys, Edge and Christian versus the Dudleys, TLC one more time. Tony, pick up the phone. It's like, you have a Legends deal. You can't work with AEW. And that's the point of it, right? But
if that's even true.
This is why I said it. And I said this on Twitter the other day, and it's like, you have to be careful where you're getting your news and reviews from.
Yeah.
You just because they're a legend in the industry doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. You know, if you guys watch basketball, the podcast that's Gilbert Arenas, Rashad McCants, and Kenya Martin, you know, McCants sucked, but Kenya Martin and Gilbert Arenas are awesome. They see some stupid fucking shit. Paul Pierce is a legend. Him and Garnett's podcast, he says some stupid fucking shit. Just because Bully Ray is a legend doesn't mean that everything he says is with gold. Like, they say dumb shit all the time. So it's like, yeah, have your opinions and really make sure what you're listening to, because if you don't watch AEW and you read Bully, his tweets, you'd be like, oh my God, they're not telling stories, when in fact they're immediately telling stories.
And I hope that's a joke, the first one. I don't trust that guy whatsoever.
Yeah, it is a joke, because like you said, Fed Full Select.
And Fed Full Select. I thought you said Fight Full Select. I read it wrong.
Fed Full Select.
Hilarious. Big shout out. me and Ant started that the one day, and we're like, fuck, this is like the best idea ever.
Yeah, it was hilarious that you guys did that. But it's just like AEW is going to have such a great year this year. It's trending in that direction. So there's going to get a lot of hate, a lot of people, the Bischoffs, the fucking stupid-ass Cornette, who's on his podcast, is fucking laughing at the WWE allegations, which is ridiculous that anybody would
He's probably involved, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. And then, so like, there's going to be a lot of haters coming at AEW, so just kind of block that shit out and use that extra time to watch other companies.
Yeah.
Mustafa Ali is about to fucking show up in TNA and do some fucking bomb ass shit, bro.
I know we're getting late for time here, but his promotional videos are so effing good, and I was
he has done seven shows since leaving WWE, and they have been seven sellouts.
Yeah, and I'm actually gonna watch I really want to watch the Windy City Riot one in April, because I think that one's gonna be a really big show. They're doing it at Wintrust too, so they're doing a pretty decent size arena for a New Japan show over here. So.
Listen, 2024 is going to be an incredible year for wrestling. Hopefully, it's an incredible year for us here and for you listening to us. So, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Elite POV. If you want to stay up to date on everything that we have going on with this show, at Elite POV on Twitter. Follow us. That. Yeah, exactly. You see it on the bottom here.
I got to change it.
Nah, it's fine. thank you for listening to another episode of Elite POV. I'm Phil. That's Kyle. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy.
Guns up, baby.
Bang, bang, bang. Bah! Bah!